What works?
You're listening to the What Works podcast, brought to you by State Alumni, sponsored by Moore Investment Management and TD Milosh Monix Insurance.
They spend 11 seconds on your resume. The first third of the first page is prime real estate. You want to make sure that you have as many hits, contacts, matches, keywords in that 11 seconds. If they don't see it, you'll most likely go into the no pile and they'll move on to the next resume.
You know that feeling when you're reading a job description and you feel like you're ticking off a lot of the boxes? You find yourself Googling the company, maybe taking a look at their Glassdoor reviews and checking out their LinkedIn page and seeing who else works there. And before you know it, you're imagining yourself in the role. The apply button lurks below. You open your resume and cover letter and make your move. From the alumni team here at SAIT, I'm your host and fellow SAIT grad, Alyssa Athanasopoulos. Welcome to the What Works podcast. On this episode, we're talking about resumes and cover letters, where to start, what to include, how to work with applicant tracking systems, and how to get help. Yvonne English is a career advisor with SAIT's Career Advancement Services team and joins us to share her expertise. With 15 years experience in the recruitment space before joining SAIT, she knows a thing or two when it comes to creating stellar cover letters and resumes. Resumes can feel a bit like a blank slate. How would you even begin to craft one?
The first thing that you should do is just gather all the information you have about yourself. So sports teams you've been on, volunteer work you've done, any work experience you have, all of your education, and just jot it all down into a master file. Then you can build from that information. So in addition to that, write down any achievements that you have. So projects at work that you were a part of or that you did on your own. Just sit there and kind of brainstorm everything about your work history, everything about your school history. Even as alumni, you can still pull in information and achievements from school. Many adults still have recreational activities, volunteer work, committee work. All of that can be included in your resume.
And then I've heard about a resume builder or samples that you have on My Career Hub. What is that?
We have gone and created about 20 different samples for resumes on My Career Hub, showing different formats, different ways of communicating the information and presenting the information. And we have them right from, you know, graduate right out of SAIT with no experience to that individual who's been in this business for 20 years and is maybe doing a shift and a transition to a different career. So we have samples for all of them as to how you can showcase that information and present it in the light of what you're looking for.
And what is My Career Hub for those who might not be aware?
My Career Hub is your one-stop shop for everything career readiness that we've created in Career Advancement Services. We have job postings, which are open to alumni. We have many positions that come in where individuals are looking for 5+ years experience. So don't forget about that. We have many resources, not just on resumes and cover letters, but on LinkedIn, networking, career search strategies, and professionalism.
So how important is it to tailor your resume for each opportunity that you apply for?
Extremely important. I'm sure many individuals have heard of applicant tracking systems or ATSs. They are a computer software that is designed to scan a resume. There are over 450 different types out there, and they are from very sophisticated to not sophisticated at all. You need to format your resume for these programs. So one of the things to remember is in your formatting, you might see some great templates online that are really pretty and fancy looking. And yes, they look great, but they may not make it through one of those software programs. Some of them cannot read graphics, columns, tables, headers, text boxes. So plain and simple is the best way to go. So that's just on the formatting. The big important part with applicant tracking systems is the use of keywords or target words. You basically want to read the posting, go through that posting even with a highlighter, highlight all of the key skills that they are looking for, both transferable and technical. Look at the educational qualifications, the work experience qualifications, and then you want to make sure that you put that information in your cover letter and in your resume. The more hits, if you want to call it that, that you have, the more likely that you will make it to the next level. So you want to ensure that that information is in there. I like to say sometimes you want to cut and paste the posting into your resume without actually cutting and pasting the posting. So paraphrase it, use the words. If they're talking about collaboration, make sure you mention collaboration, not teamwork. Even though it's the same thing, the computer is really smart to pick up the word collaboration, but it doesn't know that teamwork is collaboration. And just so individuals know, even if a recruiter, an actual person, does read your resume, they're scanning for the same thing. They spend 11 seconds on your resume. The first third of the first page is prime real estate. You want to make sure that you have as many hits, contacts, matches, keywords in that 11 seconds. If they don't see it, you'll most likely go into the no pile and they'll move on to the next resume.
Back to the format that you talked about. Now, when I think about keeping it plain and simple, I'm thinking it makes sense for those larger organizations. But say it's like you're a creative, you're in graphic design or something like that, and you want to kind of like show that pretty resume, and you know you're applying to a smaller company where it's probably going to just go straight to a human being. How would you know, I guess, the difference when it's appropriate to go plain and simple or show a bit of personality?
If you are applying online, you're pretty much going through an applicant tracking system. Even through Indeed and LinkedIn, if it's coming online, it's most likely going to go to an applicant tracking system. If you are emailing direct to a person, so say through your networking, you were provided with somebody's email address, then yes, you can make it look pretty fancy, show your creative side, especially if you are in that more artistic environment, or if you are hand delivering it. Okay, just still make sure that it's not too much that they can't read it and follow it. Okay, so be careful with columns because they may not know, are they supposed to read across or up and down? So still be careful with that formatting. But yes, if you're hand delivering it, sending it via email, and just briefly, another place that you can capture the creative side is in your LinkedIn profile. You can share that in the featured on your LinkedIn.
Okay, that's a really good tip. So that's probably something you should include in your resume as well, is your URL to your profile.
And some software developers, IT, have GitHub. I know some graphic designers have ArtStation. You can include those URLs in your resume as well, and it can direct them to go and look at your work there.
When I think of applying for different jobs, it seems like a lot of work to customize it for each role. How can we kind of make that easier on ourselves?
You can create a template resume that has all of the key information for your industry. So if you're in a specific industry, there's going to be keywords and key skills that you're going to need for each. Then we talked about tailoring. So for each posting, you're going to just do some tweaking and tailoring. So for example, if one posting they're talking about collaborating with a team, but in your resume you have yourself being a good team player, change the words team player to collaborator. In one resume they're talking or posting, they're talking about management skills. In the next one, they're talking about leadership skills. Just change management to leadership. So you do not have to rewrite the whole resume. You kind of use one as a base and then just make sure that those keywords are in there. As I mentioned before, the computer is smart, but not smart enough to know synonyms, that words that are close together. So customer relations is the same as customer service to us, but change relations to service if that's what's in the posting.
So what kind of experience should you be including on your resume?
Everything that is related to the position that you're applying for. As I mentioned earlier, you write down all of your experiences. Obviously, the farther you're into your career, you'll have more work-related information. If you're a recent alumni within the first year of getting back into the workforce, you might not have full work experience. So you might still pull on some of your school experiences or part-time work experience. But we usually recommend you go back about 10 years. Anything more than 10 years, you could run into ageism. Unfortunately, it does exist with some recruiters, unfortunately. But you want to go back 10 years. Another reason for that, too, is policies change, processes change, technologies change. So you don't really need to have the information from that far back. So focus on the skills and the jobs or activities that have the skills that the posting is looking for. So if you're in a career transition and your last job was a geologist and now you're going into business intelligence, you still used problem solving and data analysis and research skills as a geologist, which you will use as a business analyst. So just redirect and focus that experience, no matter how long ago it is, to reflect the skills that they are looking for in the posting.
I like to think of a job posting as an ask from a company. And when applying for it, it's your opportunity to kind of tell them that you're the answer. What important pieces should we take away from a job posting, and how can we use those pieces to help shape our resume?
The important thing to remember when you're doing a resume is to not just list the duties that you've done. Everybody can just list the duties. They know what the duties are. What they want to know is how well did you do them? So we recommend quantifying your comment. So if you increased sales or decreased costs, increased efficiencies, whether you manage 20 people or 5 people, there's different skill sets involved in that. So the way that you can answer their ask is by telling them you want someone who can decrease costs. I have decreased costs by 10% through implementing a new process. So make them achievement-based and quantified. Not every statement can be quantified, but wherever you can, absolutely quantify it, but always make them achievement-based. Okay, yes, I can serve 5 tables at one time, but I can actually, you know, serve 20 tables efficiently and accurately, ensuring all the customer satisfaction is met to the highest standard. Okay, that tells them how well you can do it. So that's something else. At the beginning, I talked about creating that kind of data dump where you put all your information in. Over the years, as you make achievements at work, add to that data dump. Keep it like a diary. Great example is I took 13 years off to raise my family and then came back to work. Trying to remember my achievements from 13 years ago was really difficult. Had I done the diary, which I now recommend everyone else to do, I would have had all of those achievements there ready for me to put into a resume, into an interview answer, into a cover letter. So I do recommend that when you've started that data dump, keep it going and add to it over time.
I've heard resumes shouldn't exceed 1 or 2 pages. What are your thoughts on that?
We do suggest not going over 2 pages. 1 page, if you have very limited experience, 1 page is fine. You don't want to put too much white space in there that you're stretching it over 2 pages. But you also don't want to cram everything into 1 because it makes it too difficult to read. So we recommend only 2 pages. The reason for that, they're not going to read it all. And your resumes really should be tailored to that posting. So you should only be including the information that relates to that posting. Recruiters are very much right now, just tell me the facts. I have 400 resumes to read. I want to know what you have that relates to what I'm looking for. All the other stuff, you can fill that in an interview. You can share that, some of it in your cover letter, but the resume should really be matching that posting, telling them exactly why you are the right person for that role. And you should be able to do that within 2 pages.
Moving on to cover letters, can you talk a little bit about what they are and why they're necessary?
Cover letters are going through a bit of a transition right now. So there seems to be 2 camps out there. People love them or people don't like them. So the number one rule I say is read your posting very carefully. If the posting states to include a cover letter, include one. Don't miss it. If it is not there, if it doesn't state clearly that you should include one, it is your discretion. I am team cover letter. I really enjoy cover letters. Just know 5 seconds on a cover letter, 11 seconds on a resume. The cover letter gives you the opportunity to connect yourself to the company. So really enjoy your product, see that you have a new grant and you have a new project coming up, your philosophy or your values and mission closely align with mine. So it gives you that personal connection to a company, which could put you over above someone who doesn't do that. it gives you the chance to insert a couple more of those achievements that maybe you can't fit into your resume that you can include in there. And it gives you a chance to show your personality, because resumes are just the facts. So there's no personality in there. It's all the facts. In some companies, especially ones where you're going to be doing report writing, they want to see your writing skills. And because resumes are often done in short form bullet point, the extent of your ability to write a proper report, letter, email isn't always demonstrated in a resume. So you can demonstrate that in a cover letter.
And I think it's fairly obvious. It's a one-page document.
It is a one-page document. Absolutely. Again, on my Career Hub, we have some samples of cover letters. We've also created a document, which is a tip sheet for cover letters and resumes. And basically, it shows you the format, but instead of being a sample of how to write it, it gives you tips on what should be written in the first paragraph, in the second paragraph, and how your closing should be.
So nice formula to refer to. Okay, so what's one thing someone could do today to give their resume some new life?
Review. Take a look at the samples on my Career Hub. Look at the samples from, we've broken them into categories kind of based on the type of work that you're looking for and the type of experience that you have. Look at many of the samples because they all showcase different features which you might be able to pull into yours. Be careful of looking online. There are many different samples out there. Some of them are great. Some of them are not. I think one of the important things to remember about cover letters and resumes is that everyone that you speak to is going to give you different advice. In the end, your resume and your cover letter should be a reflection of you, and you need to be comfortable with it. So take the bits of advice that you like. Take the bits of advice that you've heard multiple times, because it's probably a good indicator that that should be on there. But if there's something else that you want to do, you can include it. Hopefully it doesn't hamper you in an ATS or in the process. But in the end, that resume needs to be a reflection of you. So make sure that it is.
Carla Matt graduated from the Bachelor of Science in Construction Project Management in 2021 and is currently a field engineer with Flatiron Construction. Being relatively new to the construction space when she started her program, Carla emphasizes the importance of placing your education front and center in your resume if you're trying to break into a new industry.
So you want to basically highlight your best features first, because if it's true, you know, you look at a resume in 5 seconds, they have education, they have experience. I'm going to read more. But if you're putting experience and you look on there and you're like, oh, they've worked at Dairy Queen for 4 years. Like, that's not really relevant if you're going to a accounting job, for example. But if you have on there, your first thing is education, you're either within the program or you're finished the program. It's a different thing. But then don't let that experience of working at Dairy Queen for 4 years take anything away, because you're generally working with cash, you're working with customers, you have all these transferable skills, so I wouldn't take that away from it.
And although there are resume writing services out there, Carla encourages writing it yourself and getting feedback from career advancement services so you can take your resume to the next level.
I loved going to SAIT because SAIT has career services, and I can't say enough about them. I did the work, and then I went to career services, and they basically audited my resume, and they said, "Ooh," or "Yay, good job," whatever it was. It was quite the experience. And then they said, we work with these companies all the time. We know what they're looking for with HR. They know what specifically keywords to use. So they're not going to write your resume for you, but they're going to give you very, very helpful tips. So find someone that can critique your resume, and not someone that's writing a resume for you, but critique it. That's, I think, key, because that person writing your resume, if they're writing in a language that you don't speak, when you have if you get the interview, all of a sudden they're like, hey, these two don't line up. So that's why it's important that you are writing it.
You've worked hard to achieve an industry-recognized credential from SAIT. Be proud of that and shout it from the rooftops, or at least near the top of your resume. If you're ever unsure of how to demonstrate the competencies you've learned, I'll leave a link to My Career Hub in the show notes so you can set up an appointment with a career advisor to help you out. Thank you for listening. My name is Alyssa Athanasopoulos, and this is the What Works podcast, brought to you by SAIT Alumni. We look forward to connecting with you soon.
Connect with the SAIT alumni family. Visit SAIT.ca/alumni for information on exclusive perks, events, contests, and volunteer opportunities.